All right. Hello and welcome back, everybody. This is episode 10 of the Human Progress Podcast. Turn up a little bit here. Okay. This one is titled Opportunities in Open Source, More VR Companies, and the New Golden Age of Capitalism. So, let me start with that first one, opportunities in open source. So, the Venture Stories podcast, by Village Global, Eric Tornberg, you know, he's been really good about, posting. He posts almost every day, I think. And, this has probably been the most beneficial and impactful one. Most of my content is just still coming from this one. Eric, I think, is just kind of on my, I don't know. It's just exactly what I'm wanting to hear. They are long forms. I mean, it's about an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. But the way he questions a lot of, basically, he's trying to get at what's going to be big, what's going to work in whatever, whoever he's interviewing. He's just really good about, cause he's in, you know, Village Global is a network driven venture firm. So they're investors themselves. So they like to hear about, yes, that, you know, the background, the technology, but they're in it to make money. How does it, you know, how is it going to make me money? So just, he's been very good at, hammering those points in. So, and then, you know, this recent one was Benchmark. He talked to two people from Benchmark, one of the biggest firms in the world, Silicon Valley. So the guests are Eric Vishria and Chetan Puttagunta. I will include that in the show notes. But yeah, they had a pretty wide ranging conversation. Started off with like the history of Benchmark, where it is today. Oh yeah, they don't scale their firm. They have like been at a consistent like five partners through the whole 20-year journey. And I know the one thing they mentioned was like the person that's been there 20 years has just as much like equity and stake in all the companies as the new hire. They allocate everything equally. And I think that's really interesting. That's really cool. And I'm wondering, it got me thinking about like, man, can companies do that? You know, what if companies did that, you know, just to make it more fair, more equal. And that's kind of how they, you know, make their decisions. It's pretty like a very much collaboration. Like no one has more power over the other. I found that interesting. I don't think I've heard any VC firm do that. But anyways, I want to get into the meat of this. The biggest takeaway I wanted to talk about was like the biggest opportunities in SaaS companies, you know, Oracle and Salesforce, those big enterprise ones. And I'm just now kind of starting to get interested in this space, like what maybe what I could do, because I think that solving a need for businesses is, I just feel like if you really hit something, it is hitting more of a need than, and I think it's better to scale than just like consumer startups, I think, are a lot harder. I think consumer is able to make a lot more and have a lot more users and generate more revenue. But I think that the idea, the spark of the idea, and if it works, you know, businesses need to work more efficiently. If you just solve a problem for businesses, you're generally going to get something to work and have a lot more demand. But anyways, well, so they talk about a lot of open source opportunities for these companies, because I took down a little bit of notes and I'm going to play a little bit of that episode. But so they were saying that a lot of those big enterprise companies, they have infrastructure that are like still built on the same, like, I don't know, well, basically infrastructure since like the 1970s. So he says the opportunities to improve on these, they say, are nearly limitless. And then he says, I'm going to play this part, but he says, go look at these big business lines, and he thinks that they will eventually move to open source kind of businesses. So I'm going to play a little bit of this because I have it queued up here, and because again, because I can't do it justice. But here's a little clip of that episode.
So if you look at the large enterprise software companies today, they are still really, really big. So if you look at the market cap of IBM, Oracle, SAP, et cetera, they still generate billions and billions. We're talking tens of billions of dollars of revenue every single year on infrastructure that was originally created in the 1970s. And
so that's the part that I just talked about. So you know, I think what he's going to get here is like, if you can solve that problem and build something that is, you know, 2019, 2020 efficient, you know, get with the times here, you know, because they're generating that much money still, like that is a huge white space opportunity for a new founder. So me, you, whoever's listening, pay attention here.
It is incredibly robust and mission-critical software, but it is still built in the 1970s. And so you see large infrastructure components that run, you know, the world systems still have a terminal and a green screen in front of them. You know, I encourage those that have not looked recently to look at how many mainframe computers IBM still sells on an annual basis. It's staggering. And so while open source and in the new wave of infrastructure has permeated a bit, I still think that 90% of the market is still not transitioned to the next generation of infrastructure. And so the opportunity set is frankly limitless at this moment. And as companies are starting to think about the new cycle of applications, that's when you get to go in and replace the entire IT stack, right? So we've had this booking app that was built in 85, and we've just been, you know, rewriting it and upgrading on the same infrastructure for the last 25 years. We've made a decision to rewrite it. We want to make it work with all the new devices. We want to make it work with all the new browsers. We want to push it out. We want to make it cloud. We want to make it work in the browser, et cetera. That gives you a chance as an entrepreneur to intercept that enterprise with your brand new infrastructure. And that's happening literally every single day with the largest of companies. And so frankly, like one of the easiest exercises you can do is go look at the big business lines of large enterprise infrastructure providers, and those will eventually move to open source.
Yeah, so pretty insightful there. I don't know exactly how to get started with that. I know he said to go look at – I'm not, you know, deep into tech, you know, to understand all of that. But if you guys are – you know, re-listen to that and see what you think. See where you could possibly come up with a solution, because, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he mentioned booking out this one, 85, and you think about how old some of these are, like IBM and Oracle even. Yeah, I mean, if that's true, which I guess it is, think about what their needs are and see if you can come up with that infrastructure solution. So anyways, yeah, that's, you know, keep that in mind. The next guy, he talks about how deep learning is changing a lot of these areas as well, but I won't play that at one. I don't know. Wasn't quite as interesting to me, but maybe it's a little bit over my head. Maybe you guys can figure that out. Here's who are deeper into tech and the coding than I am. But anyways, okay, I think we'll move on. Again, I will share that all in the description, episode description of this one. So yeah, it's always a pretty good podcast, especially this one, Benchmark Two Guys. Yeah, they're very insightful. So take a listen. Okay, next. Well, so this one kind of just piggybacks off of like that progress study. Well, the accelerating progress talk that Mark Zuckerberg had with Patrick Collison. That is still probably my number one thing I'm trying to pursue. And, basically what Mark said about how VR could change, your living situation. You know, you don't have to pick up and move to the city that you want. Maybe the one solution will be VR kind of cities or, places to go to collaborate with whoever you want, wherever in the world. So I think about this a lot. And so I just, and, you know, Adam Draper, the other guy that was on the Venture Stories podcast, I still really like what he's doing and what he stands for. Kind of the same thing, you know, he's at Boost VC. Oh, he tweeted out like, so I think he's pretty involved with that Eurofit. It's this kind of a game, I think, on Oculus. It's at YUR_fit. And I think he uses it himself. It's like this fitness thing from a VR fitness trainer app that you helps you kind of do some workouts, exercises. I'm not sure. I haven't tried it, so I don't know. But I know he tweeted out like, well, he tweeted, here, I'll just read it. I got it here. The top app on SideQuest VR is Eurofit. And he goes, we need this on the Oculus Store. How do we make that happen? And he like tweeted, he like tagged like a bunch of Oculus and VR people leading in the game. You know, Oculus support. And then my thing is I just wanted to follow almost all of these accounts because I'm just really big into, you know, VR and, everybody at Oculus. So, I can maybe see how I'll include this in the description, but, maybe I'll just include some of the ones that I follow. Palmer Luckey's on here. A couple of the people at Oculus are on here. So, you know, and the reason I'm talking about this is because it's kind of a neat way to use Twitter to kind of get to people that you want to, you know, you just kind of tag them and you ask them, hey, can I get your help? You know, and that's why I messaged Adam. I kind of just want to develop a little bit of a rapport connection with him. And, you know, he leaves his messages open. So anyone that leaves their messages open, I'm a fan. I liked what they're doing. I tell them and I direct message them. I do. This is what Twitter is about. Twitter is about creating new relationships with shared interests. You know, you don't always have to ask for help or, you know, hey, get me a job, but just, you know, talk with them. I will link some of these accounts in the description, but there's not really much to say, but I just wanted to, I think this space is ripe for innovation. It's VR is only going to grow. So, okay. So I just watched this and it was really good. It was released December 2nd. So this week. It's a TEDx talk, TEDx Windsor, it comes out of, and it is titled Basic Income and the New Golden Age of Capitalism. The guy is Floyd Marinescu, and again, I'll link this video in the description, but not only was this was a good talk, this was really good, but it is definitely applicable to our political sphere coming in 2020. My guy was still Andrew Yang. You know, this whole notion of fighting for a basic income, the freedom dividend, you know, $1,000 a month, you know, is it could just be very revolutionary. And I think from a president, from a political standpoint, like how much. You know, well, the thing is, how much do we always complain about government doesn't really change my life day to day? Well, like this time, it really could. You know, Andrew Yang, you know, could give you $1,000 every single month. You know, it's like, you know, I don't think his chances are good, but, you know, we'll see. Anyways, this talk, basically, you know, arguing a ton of points for it. You know, he talks about, how in this recent history, you know, we're kind of seeing the middle class disappear from the technological, you know, automation and progress is, you know, all these tech guys, though, you know, I'm a big fan of it, of course, yes, and I'm trying to be that, but at the same time, all the kind of wealth and power, you know, are going to those, you know, top people that, it, you know, found the companies and are in charge of it. And so we're seeing a decline of the middle class, and the argument for a basic income is, you know, is really strong. He makes a lot of good points. I know. And so one thing I'm also all about is the rate of innovation. I'm all about getting as many people as we can on board to solve the world's greatest problems. We need everybody to participate. And, you know, we're kind of moving towards a future where, you know, we're not seeing that. We're seeing the authority and everything going to a select few people. And that's not good. So I want to play a little bit of it here. See what you guys think.
What would be available to us? A more functional democracy. Why can't we solve climate change? When's the last time you heard of a major infrastructure investment to catapult society to a new level? Why? Because when people are financially insecure, they vote out of fear, and we're more prey to fearmongers and people who preach hate. Behavioral economics research has proven that people who are financially insecure make poorer long-term decisions. I believe that if we impel more...
It's kind of not the part I wanted to... It was the next part here that really...
Innovation is the basis.
Yes, so...
A society that's not afraid to fail will also innovate more.
Yes.
And innovation is the basis of our prosperity and the enhancement of the human experience. The word capital and capitalism is not just money. It's our appetite and our tolerance to risk. Many people in this room have a great appetite for risk, but low tolerance to it, when 47% of Canadians can't find $200 in case of an emergency, and 60% of Americans can't find $500. We are at record low levels of risk tolerance today, and we're in a period for the last 10 years where more businesses are closing than opening every year. If we want to see more economic breakthroughs, faster growth, more innovation...
Yes, those are huge points right there.
We need to recapture the risk tolerance available in all of us. Us humans are a natural resource of innovation. We need to unlock that. A basic income is how we can do that, by guaranteeing basic needs so people can dream again and take risks.
Yeah, and what I like about this is, like, you know, we may not be a Larry Page or Sergey Brin. You know, we may not have that technological genius they do, but we still are smart enough to innovate and come up with good ideas and collaborate with, you know, the more minds working on a problem, the better. And when so many of us are, you know, kind of faced with a bad situation, we have to work at this dead end job, and we have all these things, you know, just hanging down on us, you know, and we're not living to our full potential, you know, that's where we're hung up, you know, and we want as many people working on climate change as we can, you know. I don't think, you know, just a couple billionaires are going to be able to do it, you know. We don't want a world where that's true. We want, you know, 10 million people all working on the problem together. You know, that's what we want to see, you know, a more fair, distributed, you know, let's all win together, you know. And that's what this podcast is about, that and this basic income idea, you know, is great for that too. You know, we want, you know, these emerging third world countries, like, people to get out of poverty and be right there with, you know, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, you know, somebody, some kid that came out of, you know, he's living on, you know, $10 a day could be collaborating with them on climate change. We don't, why can't we see that? Maybe we will. But yeah, this was a good talk and it stands for a lot of what I believe in. You know, I still, you know, getting kind of wealthy, very wealthy off of, you know, technological progress is good. It's the point, but let's all try to win together is what I'm trying to get at. So with that, we're at the 20-minute mark. I'm going to leave it there. Again, everything will be included in the description. And, you know, think about these points. You know, this is a very crucial time. And we're at a very pivotal point, you know, in going into 2020 here. So let's all try to think bigger and collaborate more and really kind of work on problems, solving problems. And that way we'll see a better world for all of us. So with that, guys, I will see you in episode 11 sometime next week. With that, take care, guys. All right.